hello, and warm greetings to our listeners of Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Program. My name is Ben Park. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Broadcast. Why don't we begin with reading the Bible together? Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us to listen to His words and teach us how to read on our own time. And we have a devotional program for teenagers called Unlock. Our next program, Children's Bible Drama, will open our imagination world to portray characters in the Bible. And last, but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will wrap up the broadcast. I hope you have a blessed time rejoicing in God throughout this journey, and please invite your friends to begin this awesome journey together. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yunai Kang. I am the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. Becoming a Christian means that a person who originally belonged to the world is now a person that belongs to God. Called out of this perishing world, the Christians have become God's people. God's people are ruled by God. However, just because we are God's people and have to follow His ruling, would it be okay to completely ignore the government and disregard the laws of this world? This is a very important issue because there are some Christians who misunderstand and resist the laws of the world. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "All of you must obey those who rule over you. There are no authorities except the ones God has chosen. Those who now rule have been chosen by God." Think about the period when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. Who was in power in the world? That's right, it was the Roman Empire. How was the relationship between the Roman Empire and the Christians? Was it friendly? It wasn't, right? As we know in history, many Christians were martyred by the Roman Empire. Despite all this, the Apostle Paul tells the Christians to obey the powers that are above them. The reason that they are in their powerful position is because God allowed this to happen. If this is true, do we have to obey everything that the people in power tell us to do? What about the case where they tell us to stop worshiping God and to do the opposite of God's words? In order to understand this, we have to look at what Jesus did towards the people in power. Did Jesus obey all the rules that were demanded by the Pharisees or the other leaders of Israel? No, Jesus only obeyed God's words. Because of this, there was conflict that formed with the Israeli leaders. Eventually, this conflict led to Jesus being captured and crucified by the Roman Empire. Jesus did not fight against the people that held him, interrogated him, whipped him, and crucified him. Instead, he obeyed their power. This is because this power came from God. We need wisdom so that we can apply this fact to our lives. Whenever or wherever we are, we always have to live with God as our standard. We should not do anything that goes against God's words. Instead, we should always do what God wants us to do. As we read Romans chapter 13 today, I pray that we will receive the grace to understand how Christians should live in this world. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just like the messages from the book of Romans, please help us to live with wisdom as your people, and help us to be able to handle our duties that were given to us in this world. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Tobias E. from California will read the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 1 through 14 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Tobias G. I am 9 years old and I live in California. Today, I am going to read Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 14. Let's read the Bible. All of you must obey those who rule over you. There are no authorities except the ones God has chosen. Those who now rule have been chosen by God. So whoever opposes the authorities opposes leaders whom God has appointed. Those who do that will be judged. If you do what is right, you won't need to be afraid of your rulers. But watch out, if you do what is wrong, you don't want to be afraid of those in authority, do you? Then do what is right, and you will be praised. The one in authority serves God for your good. But if you do wrong, watch out. Rulers don't carry a sword for no reason at all. They serve God, and God is carrying out his anger through them. The ruler punishes anyone who does wrong. You must obey the authorities. Then you will not be punished. You must also obey them because you know it is right. That's also why you pay taxes. The authorities serve God. Ruling takes up all their time. Give to everyone what you owe them. Do you owe tax? Then pay them. Do you owe anything else to the government? Then pay it. Do you owe respect? Then give it. Do you owe honor? Then show it. Pay everything you owe, but you can never pay back all the love you owe one another. Whoever loves other people has done everything the law requires. Here are some commandments to think about. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit murder. Do not steal. Do not want what belongs to others. These and all other commands are included in one command. Here's what it is. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love does not harm its neighbor. So love does everything the law requires. When you do these things, keep in mind the times we are living in. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. The full effects of our salvation are closer now than when we first believed in Christ. The dark nights of evil is nearly over. The day of Christ's return is almost here. So, let us get rid of the works of darkness that harms us. Let us do the works of light that protects us. Let us act as we should, like people living in the daytime. Have nothing to do with wild parties. And don't get drunk. Don't take part in sexual sin or evil conduct. Don't fight with each other or be jealous of anyone. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ as if he were your clothing. Don't think about how to satisfy sinful desires. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to read your word today. Please allow leaders around the world use their power to please you. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen.
Welcoming his weary, wandering child.
Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud hearts ring. 'Tis the ransomed army, like the mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free.
Bells of heaven, there is joy today,
for a wanderer now is reconciled.
Yes, a soul is rescued from his sinful way, and is born a new and ransomed child.
Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, receive, pealing forth the anthem of the free.
Ring the bells of heaven, spread the feast today. Angels swell the glad triumphant strain. Tell the joyful tidings, bear it far away. For a precious soul is born again.
Glory, glory, how the angels sing.
Oh, how they sing.
Glory, glory, how the loud harps ring. 'Tis the ransomed army,
like a mighty sea,
a mighty sea,
for the anthem of the free.
We'll sing the anthem of the free.
Following is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
What do you do when you really like them, but they don't love Christ? Hi, I'm Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to opening your heart to God. Today, our devotion is about dating. And not just dating, but what to do when the person we want to date hasn't made Christ the Lord of their life. Whether the rule in your family allows you to date in high school or not, it's still important to think about this topic. Our story is called Unequally Yoked, and it was written by Christiana Cudworth. He's cute, he's sweet, and he's oh so nice, but he's not a Christian. She goes to church and is so much fun, but Christ's not particularly important to her. Is it okay to date them? Being attracted to someone who doesn't love Christ can be a really tough situation. Trust me, I've been there. What can you do? First off, dating them is a bad idea. I'm really sorry. If Christ is the center of your life and identity, you can't have a partner who doesn't think Christ is important. Even if they're happy to live your Christian life right now, they don't share your ultimate goal to serve in Jesus' kingdom. It doesn't matter how nice or good they might be. Entering a romantic relationship with someone who doesn't know Jesus is a path of heartache, sin, and regret. So, you say no. Sound hard? It is. It's the most heartbreaking thing I've ever done. But if I survived it, so can you. Because Christ is sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 tells us that. But wait, you're thinking, what if they become a Christian? Then can I date them? If they really are sincere about following Christ and wouldn't give up on him, even if you weren't in their life, then yes, they're God's child and you're on equal footing. Good news, there are lots of real-life examples of this happening. Bad news, there are also a lot of real-life examples of someone converting, but only doing it for the other person and never really loving Christ. That's an even worse situation, so be careful. If they say they know Jesus, take your time before starting to date them. Find out why they believe and get lots of counsel from godly Christian adults in your life. Still in doubt? Remember that if Christ has a future spouse for you, it'll be someone who really loves him. Trust him for your future. So let's talk about this. Have you ever been attracted to someone who didn't love Christ? What did you do? Can you think of someone in the Bible who married someone who didn't love God? What happened? A good example of this is in 1 Kings 11, 4-6. The Bible is very clear about the damage being in a relationship with an unbeliever can cause. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" Maybe today's devotion really speaks to you because you're attracted to someone who doesn't share your faith in Christ. Talk to Jesus about it. He knows it hurts and he's with you through it all. Unlocked is a production of Keys for Kids Ministries.
Here is the second episode of Unlocked.
So I recognize an idol in my life. What do I do about it? Hi, I'm Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to opening your heart to God. This is quite a question, and I want you to know I'm not just asking you this question, I'm asking myself too, because it's easy for all of us to develop idols in our lives, and sometimes recognizing something as an idol isn't the challenge. The challenge is deciding what to do once we know we have an idol. Today's story addresses that. It's called Idols Among Us, and it was written by L.M. King Josiah, Shaphan, the scribe said as he burst into the palace. We found this book in the temple. I've never read anything like this. If it's true, then woe for Jerusalem. Read it to me, said Josiah. Shaphan did, and then Josiah tore his robes and wept. What Shaphan read was the book of the law, the rules God's people followed to sustain the covenant between God and themselves before Jesus fulfilled the law. Josiah recognized that Jerusalem was full of sin, the breaking of God's good rules. There were idols at every corner. So Josiah destroyed them. The next era of Jerusalem was filled with fire, but instead of burning incense to false gods, the city had a thick cloud of smoke over it from burning the shrines, altars, and temples of the idols. But what does a story about burning idols have to do with us today? You might be thinking, I don't have any idols. It's not like I pray to the moon or anything. Consider this. When tragedy happens, which do you do first? Post about it or pray about it? We as humans often go to other things before we think to go to God. Humans have a desire to worship. Unfortunately, we tend to forget who made us with that desire and try to fulfill it by worshiping unworthy idols. One of the biggest idols today is our phones, which we place at the center of our lives instead of Jesus. Maybe you have a different idol. Whatever it is, anything or anyone that takes God's place in your heart is an idol. So what can we do? By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can burn those idols like Josiah did long ago. Note, please don't literally burn your phone. The fumes are toxic. Burning today could look like setting restrictions on your phone, taking time to pause and remember your worth in Christ before you try to find it in an idol. Once we've removed the idol, our hearts need to be built up to become an altar to the true God. Josiah did this by calling Jerusalem together to read God's laws and to make a covenant with the Lord. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us as Christians to refocus our hearts on Christ alone. So let's talk about this. What idols do we have in our lives? The answer can be different for everybody. And what can we do to metaphorically burn those idols or take them away from our worship focus? Exodus 20:3 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." It's that simple. I challenge you to also read 2 Chronicles 34:29-33 and Romans 12:1-2, which also deal with this topic of idolatry. Reading this story today was very convicting to me, especially when the cell phone was mentioned. I've been thinking about how much I rely, depend, and need my cell phone. In fact, it's sitting on the desk right in front of me, right now. I had to ask myself, how different would my life look if I gave it up for an entire month? What positive habits would I form? How much better would my time be with the Lord? I'm not saying this is something you need to do or that there's one right answer when we decide to burn our idols, but this is something that I am personally going to do. I'll still have my phone, but I've decided to delete every app, turn off the Wi-Fi and data features, and only use my phone for texting and calling. That's it, for an entire month. It won't be easy, and I might get lost a few times trying to drive somewhere without the map app, but I think my conversations with the Lord will be enriched because of it. And my friends, whatever pain or discomfort is caused when we remove our idols, just remember, Christ is worthy of it all. Hey, thanks for listening to today's Unlocked. Have you ever thought about writing for Unlocked? If you go to unlocked.org, you can find our writer's guidelines and submit to the devotional. We would love to read whatever you send us. Okay, that's it for me. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life. Unlocked is a production of Keys for Kids Ministries.
I'm Melanie. I'm a fun, caring, and...
so glad I can worship you anytime and anywhere I want. It sure helps me remember that you're the most important thing in my life.
When I'm at school, when I'm at home, when I'm with friends, or maybe just on my own, when I am sitting for a moment or two, there's no better time to worship you. There's no better time to worship you.
Following is a program, Children's Bible Drama.
Hello, everyone. It's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Even though Israel suffered for 40 years under the domination of the Philistines, they didn't ask God for help. In the land of Zorah, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan has lived with his wife in the town of Zorah. They have no baby. God sent an angel to Manoah's wife and told her that she would become pregnant, and then told her how to raise the child. Manoah couldn't believe it. So after listening to his wife tell the story of the visit from an angel, Manoah asked God to speak to them again. God heard Manoah's prayer and once again sent an angel to Manoah's wife. While she was working in the field, she met an angel and hurriedly ran to tell her husband.
Honey! Honey! Manoah! Hurry! Hurry up to come!
Why? Why are you making such a fuss again?
The man who appeared to me the other day is here again!
Seriously? Are you sure?
Manoah and his wife hurried to the place where the angel of the Lord was and met him.
Hello? Are you the man who spoke to my wife the other day? She would become pregnant?
Yes, I am.
Oh my, it was true. Thank you so much. I really wish you could have a baby and your words are fulfilled. But I heard you told my wife what to do when the baby is born. Could you please tell me again? What is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?
Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her.
Manoah asked how to raise a child, but the angel of the Lord did not answer how to raise him. After the child was born, Manoah's wife only taught him what to do. The reason God's angel didn't tell us how to raise the child was that it would be God who would raise the child, not Manoah and his wife.
Ah, I see. We will do as the teacher said to my wife, but we would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you.
Are you trying to prepare food for me? You don't need to do that. Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord.
Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. He thought he was a prophet who came to deliver the word of God. So Manoah was trying to serve the prophet, but the angel of the Lord told him to offer it to the Lord instead of giving food to the angel.
You won't? All right. Then as you say, I will offer a goat as a burnt offering to God. And what is your name? We may honor you when your word comes true.
My name? Why do you ask my name? It's a secret.
Yes, sir. Then I will go ahead and prepare a burnt offering.
Manoah returned with his wife to the angel. They brought a young goat and the grain offering for God.
Teacher, here is the offering. We have brought an offering to the Lord.
Put them on a rock to the Lord.
Then Manoah offered it on a rock as a sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As a flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that he was the angel of the Lord.
He was God! We will certainly die, for we have seen God! Honey, calm down! If the Lord were going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our burnt offering and grain offering. He wouldn't have appeared to us and told us this wonderful thing and done these miracles. I believe that God did not intend to kill us, but appeared to save us. So don't worry. Come on, get up. Let's prepare our baby to thrive.
Manoah's wife was right. God had chosen them to raise a son in order to save the Israelites who continued to sin by worshiping other gods, despite the oppression of the Philistines. How does a child begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
You to participate in our program. Let's read the Bible. You can record your own reading of Bible passages and send them to us, Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries. For more information, please call us at 602-866-8999. Thank you!
Following this program, Daily Devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
God made me special so I can share the gospel my own way. I want to tell others about Him.
How you live your life helps make the gospel more beautiful to others, kind of like Christmas ornaments. Welcome to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Hey, have you put up your Christmas tree yet? I'm just starting, and the first thing I have to do is get all the ornaments out of storage. When I look at them, I realize each is beautiful in its own way. Some are shiny, others light up, and when I put them on the tree, it makes the tree look really special. Those ornaments adorn the tree. When you treat others with love and respect, you're kind of like an ornament for the gospel. People see you and it makes the gospel beautiful. Titus 2:10 says, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Our story today is called Decorating the Tree. Ezra, Clark, and Genevieve sat in the living room with their parents holding small boxes in their hands. It was their family's yearly tradition to go to a special Christmas ornament store where each person would pick out one ornament to put on their family Christmas tree. Ezra, the youngest, had chosen a blue ornament with his name on it. Clark, who was interested in all things at sea, had picked out an ornament that looked like a ship. Genevieve had chosen one that looked like a nativity scene and was made with wood from Bethlehem, the city where Jesus was born. Mom had found an ornament that was in the shape of a giraffe, her favorite animal. And since Dad played the saxophone, he had brought home an ornament featuring a picture of the instrument. After they had all placed their ornaments on the branches, the family stood back to admire their tree. Mom smiled. "You know, I can't help but see the way our unique personalities, the way God made each of us, come through in what we picked to decorate the Christmas tree." Dad spoke softly, "That they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." "What?" asked Ezra. "It's our memory verse right now," explained Genevieve. "Adorn means decorate, right?" "Exactly," said Mom. "We're told to decorate God's doctrine, the truth of the good news of Jesus, with all we do. That's a lot like us decorating the Christmas tree. Just like each of our ornaments is different but decorates the same tree, each Christian has different talents, interests, and life circumstances, but we all represent the same truth, that Jesus loves us and died to save us from our sin." Dad nodded. "The Christmas tree, like God's truth, is beautiful on its own, but God calls us to decorate His truth to help others see how beautiful it is. In fact, just like ornaments, God uses us as part of the beauty of His good news. When we share what Jesus has done for us and use our gifts, personalities, and actions to express our love for Him and for others, we bring out the beauty of His love and grace. So, how about you? Did you know that your life is an ornament that decorates God's message of hope in Jesus? In today's passage, Paul speaks about all kinds of Christians, each with unique circumstances and abilities. God has also given you these things. If you know Jesus, you can show others you love him by using those gifts in godly ways. When you look at your Christmas tree, think about how you can point others to the beauty of Jesus. Our key verse is Titus 2:10.
That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things.
And our key thought, decorate the good news of Jesus. I'm Zach. This is Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
I don't want to go to the dentist. I liked Dr. Kent, but I don't know anything about my new dentist.
It's okay to be nervous. Just trust Jesus to be with you the whole way through. Welcome to a brand new week of stories and scriptures just for you here at Keys for Kids. I'm Zach. Do you get that worried, sick feeling in your stomach whenever you have to go to the dentist or the doctor? I sure do. The last thing I want is to be poked and prodded, and don't get me started about shots. Ouch. If you're the same way, remember that Jesus is always with you no matter where you go. He's with you at church, at school, at the park, and even at the doctor's office. So if you get worried, think about Psalm 56:3, which says, "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you." Our story is called The Surprise Ride. As Mom adjusted the rearview mirror, she caught a glimpse of Braden's worried face. "Is everything all right?" she asked. "I'm afraid to go to the dentist, Mom," Braden moaned. "It's making my stomach hurt." "I'm sorry, honey," said Mom. "You always liked Dr. Kent, and I'm sure you'll like Dr. Johar, too. But I understand going someplace new can be scary. There have been times I've had butterflies in my stomach, too." "Butterflies?" Braden asked. "It feels more like a herd of elephants." Mom laughed. "Or a whole zoo. Like all the animals we saw when Dad took us on one of his surprise rides and we ended up at the zoo last week." Braden smiled as he thought of the trip to the city zoo. "Dad likes to surprise us, doesn't he?" "He sure does. And neither one of us had a clue where he was taking us," said Mom. "Were you afraid?" "Of course not," Braden replied. "I trust Dad. He always takes us on the best surprise rides." "Yes, and what if I told you this trip to the dentist is like one of the surprise rides Dad takes us on?" Mom asked. "Think of Jesus as our driver, and just like you had to trust Dad, you need to trust Jesus." "But Dad always takes us to fun places," said Braden. "Going to the dentist isn't any fun." "Not all the places Dad takes us to are fun at first," said Mom, "but they're good places to go. Like the time he took us to the nursing home?" "Yeah, I was a little nervous at first," Braden said, "but I enjoyed meeting and talking with some of the people who live there." Mom nodded. "With God, we don't know what's going to happen either, but we need to trust him. His plan is perfect, even when things are difficult or scary, and Jesus promises to always be with us." A verse I think of when I'm afraid is Psalm 56:3. "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you." Mom winked at Braden. "So what do you say we leave those elephants in the zoo and go to Jesus right now?" "Okay," said Braden. "I'll ask him to help me remember he's with me." So what about you? Has God taken you on a surprise ride lately? Do you have to go to a new place, meet new people? Were you afraid? You don't need to be. Jesus doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to trust him. Jesus loves you and wants only the best for you. So sit back and enjoy the surprise rides God has planned for you. They're always good for you, and you might just enjoy them too. Our key verse, Psalm 56:3.
"Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you."
And our key thought for today, trust Jesus when you're afraid. I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids.
Here was Wednesday's Daily Devotional.
I don't understand why that antique doll was so expensive. The clothes had holes, and the paint was peeling off.
It was valuable because it was old, and that's something we need to remember about people. My name is Zach, and you're tuned in to Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. You know, my grandpa used to collect antique bottles. Some of them were more than 100 years old. He used to say the older they are, the more money they're worth. Some things just get better with age. This is true when it comes to people. That's why you should always respect the elderly. God loves them as much as He loves you. Here's what it says in Isaiah 46:4. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. Our story today is about honoring the elderly. It's called Prized Antique. The floor squeaked beneath Mia's feet as she and her mom walked into the antique store. The air had a heavy smell to it, and the shelves around Mia held all sorts of interesting things. Old bottles and jars, antique oil lamps, dishes, and cooking utensils. While her mother looked at knickknacks, Mia walked over to get a closer look at some dolls. Several of the dolls looked really old. One had tin eyes that were scratched, the paint on its wooden body was peeling, part of its hair was gone, and it wore tattered clothes. Mia looked at the card tied to the doll's arm and gasped when she saw the price. I can't believe anyone would pay so much for this beat-up doll, she said quietly to herself. A woman standing nearby heard her comment. That doll doesn't look like the dolls you probably have at home, she said, but it's very old, and that makes it valuable to a doll collector. Mia nodded and moved on. On the way home, Mia told her mother about the dolls. They were really, really old, she said. Maybe they once belonged to some of the ladies we see when we visit the nursing home, said Mom. I think they were even older than that, Mia replied. They looked worn out, but the woman there said the dolls are valuable because they're so old. That's interesting, said Mom. It's important to remember that elderly people have great value, too. Many of the people we know at the nursing home are feeling worn out, but they're still special and precious. Mia smiled. Like Mrs. Murphy, she tells the best stories. And I especially value her prayers for our family, said Mom. Those people are very valuable to God, too. Jesus cares deeply about people who feel forgotten or no longer useful. He promises to be with His children their whole lives and to take care of them in their old age. His word reminds us that we need to honor our elders by showing them kindness and respect. Mia nodded. I better take good care of my dolls, too, she said. Then maybe they'll be really valuable someday, but not as valuable as people, of course. So how about you? Do you see value and worth in elderly people? They're more valuable than any prized antique. Jesus loves them just as much as He loves you, and He wants you to honor and respect them. Listen to them and learn from the experiences and wisdom God has given them. And remember that He cares for them in their old age, and He'll do the same for you. Our key verse is Isaiah 46:4.
I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you.
And our key thought? Honor the elderly. I'm so glad you spent some time learning about God with me today, and I hope you keep it up every day, even when you're a teenager. Then you can graduate up to the Unlock Teen Devotional from Keys for Kids. Get a free copy when you go to unlock.org. I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
Today's topic is important to learn about, but it may not be appropriate for very young children.
Princess wouldn't let me touch her kittens. She hissed and tried to scratch me just for looking at them.
She was protecting something very precious, just like you should do. Thanks for tuning in to Keys for Kids. As always, my name is Zach. Mama cats don't let anyone touch their kittens because they have a responsibility to keep their babies safe. And you have a responsibility too, a responsibility to protect your body. If someone tries to touch you in a way that doesn't feel right, tell them to stop right away. And then tell one of your parents or another trusted adult so they can help you handle the situation. It's a part of what 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body." Our story today is called Don't Touch. Princess purred loudly as her four kittens nestled beside her. But when Gabriella leaned over the box, Princess hissed and swatted the air. Gabriella jumped back. "I just want to pet your babies, Princess. What's wrong with that?" Of course, Princess didn't answer with words, but her look said, "Don't try that again." And when Gabriella checked on the kittens later, they were gone. Princess had moved them. "Hi, Princess," said Gabriella when she found the kittens in the linen closet. "You have such a nice family. Can I hold one?" As she reached for a kitten, Princess hissed and swatted at Gabriella again. "Princess, I'm your friend. I won't hurt them." But Princess glared at Gabriella until she went away. It happened again. Princess moved the kittens. "What's wrong with her?" Gabriella asked her mother. "I only want to pet them, but she won't let me." "Princess is just being a good mother. She's protective of her kittens because she knows they're fragile and weak." Mom sat down next to Gabriella. "Honey, this reminds me of something I want to talk to you about. Princess has a responsibility to protect her kittens, so she won't let anyone touch them. You have a special responsibility too, that of protecting your body." Puzzled, Gabriella looked at her mother. "Are you saying I shouldn't let anyone touch me, like Princess won't let me touch the kittens?" "No, I'm not saying that," said Mom. "There's nothing wrong with a hug or a kiss on the cheek to show affection to loved ones. But if someone tries to hug or kiss you when you don't feel comfortable with it, or if they try to touch you in a way that doesn't feel right, that's not okay. If anyone, anyone at all, ever tries to touch your body in a way that makes you uncomfortable, tell them to stop. Then tell me, your dad, or another adult you trust so we can help make sure it never happens again. God created your body, and since you know Jesus, His Spirit lives inside you. No one has a right to touch you in a way that feels wrong." "Okay, Mom," Gabriella said. "And since Princess isn't comfortable with me holding her kittens, I'll leave them alone." So how about you? Are you protecting your body? If someone touches you in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, tell them to stop. Then tell one of your parents or another trusted adult. They'll help you handle the situation. God created your body, and no one has a right to touch you in a way that you don't want them to. If they do, it's not your fault, but it's important to put a stop to it and to get help. Our key verse is 1 Corinthians 6:20.
"You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's."
And our key thought, protect your body. Celebrate Christmas with the Keys for Kids Radio Countdown to Christmas. There'll be Christmas music to sing along to, special Christmas episodes of Adventures in Odyssey and Down Gilead Lane, plus special Christmas musicals. To find out how to listen, go to keysforkids.net and click on Countdown to Christmas. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
I really like carving animals out of wood, but it takes so long. It feels like forever before I finish one.
Carving takes a lot of patience, and so does becoming more like Jesus. Hi, happy Sunday, and welcome to Keys for Kids. I'm so glad that you joined me today. I'm Zach. I get frustrated when I mess up and disobey God. Like, sometimes I yell at my brother, or I might promise something that I can't deliver. I'm definitely not perfect, but I'm glad that God is slowly making me more like Jesus. But that process just doesn't happen very quickly, does it? If you're a Christian, God is doing the same thing for you, but don't you wish He would do it all at once? It takes patience to become more like Jesus, and you can take encouragement from Philippians 1:6, which says, "God, who began the good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. Our story today is called A Little at a Time. With a whittling knife in one hand and a block of wood in the other, Michael sat on the back porch and intently studied the wood he held. He looked at it from all angles and then started carving. After he worked for quite a long time, the shape of a deer began to emerge from what had been a plain block of wood. "What are you working on?" asked Grandpa, who had come out of the house to join him. Michael held out the block of wood for his grandfather to inspect. Grandpa turned it over and over. "You're doing a good job," he said. "Before you know it, the deer that's in your mind is what you'll be holding in your hands." "I guess so," said Michael. "If I don't make a mistake and goof it up, I really like carving, but I wish it didn't take so long. A little chip off here, another there. It seems to take forever." Michael grinned. "Maybe I should carve bigger stuff, like the guy we saw at the fair last year. He used a chainsaw to carve a bear out of a stump, remember?" Michael sighed as he looked at his deer again. "When it takes so long, I almost feel like quitting." "Oh, I hope you won't quit," said Grandpa. "I know it's a slow process, but the only way to get right is to chip off a little at a time." He smiled and handed the deer back to Michael. "Aren't you glad God doesn't quit chipping away when he's working on us?" "What do you mean, Grandpa?" asked Michael. "Just like you see a deer in that block of wood, God sees in us the people he wants us to become," Grandpa explained. "Little by little, he chips away at our sinful habits so we act more like Jesus. I guess you could say he's carving our lives, changing our thoughts and behavior a little at a time." "Like this deer, our lives are only partly finished, aren't they?" said Michael thoughtfully. Grandpa nodded. "Yes, he's shaping us into who he wants us to be, people who obey him and display his love in our lives. He isn't finished with us yet." So how about you? Are there bad habits or attitudes in your life that need to be chipped away? Today's Bible reading talks about taking off your old way of life and putting on your new self, the person whose heart has been changed by Jesus. That means leaving your selfish ways behind and living a life of love and obedience to God. It doesn't happen all at once, but as you allow him to work in your life, he'll shape you to be more like Jesus. Our key verse is Philippians 1:6.
"And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns."
And our key thought, God is still working on you. I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids.
Deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. For Christ is born of Mary, and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wonder. Silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in.
to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Wasn't that another blasting time doing the daily devotionals? How much closer did you get to Jesus today? Make sure to share this amazing story with your family. Hope that this experience doesn't stop here, but continue to learn about Jesus' teachings by reading the Bible, praying to Jesus, and praising Him this week. Well then, I'll catch you later!